You turn again in your Bibles to that passage of Scripture which we read earlier in Matthew chapter 11. And with the Word of God open before us again, we seek His face in a word of prayer. Almighty Father, we come before Thee again this evening. Lord, as we come before Thee, we come before Thy open book. Lord, we do ask and pray that Thou would even give us, Lord, that help from Thyself this evening. Lord, as we seek to look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, as we seek to look at some things out of it, we do ask and pray, Lord, that Thou would even open our minds, that Thou would even speak to my heart this evening. Give each one of us that heart, Lord, ready to receive the Word of God, that expectant heart from Thyself. Lord, we just ask and pray that Thou would even fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Take these lips, Lord, and use them to Thy honour and to Thy glory. For it's in Thy precious name we ask all these things. Amen. I'm sure you have all heard of the famous book called Pilgrim's Progress. A book written by John Bunyan as he lay languishing in Bedford Prison from 1660 to 1672. While John Bunyan lay in that prison, he wrote this book called Pilgrim's Progress, and in it we have a character called Christian. The opening chapters we read of Christian, and we find him standing with a burden on his back and a book open before him. And as he reads the book, he recognizes that the place in which he's dwelling is going to be destroyed. He realizes that he's living in a place and is called the City of Destruction. He recognizes that his only place of escape is to get out of that city. Not knowing how, he continues to read at the book, and he's visited by one named Evangelist. This evangelist comes and he speaks to him and he advises him to go to a place called Mount Zion. If he goes through the wicket gate and goes to this place called Mount Zion, there he'll find a cross and there he'll get rid of his burden. And on reaching this place, on his journey there, he goes through the Slough of Despond and he gets into Bypath Meadow. By and by he reaches the cross and he reaches Mount Zion. And as he climbs that hill and as he meets the one at the top, sure enough, the burden disappears from his back. And you know, while this is a story written by the pen of this man Bunyan, things was revealed to him in a dream, surely this is something that every single one of us desires today. These were the words that were spoken by the Savior in this passage of Scripture to the disciples and the multitudes around Galilee. They too had a burden. People today have a burden upon their heart and mind. They all seek relief from it. Today everyone seeks rest. We seek peace. We seek happiness. We seek joy and we seek contentment. Yet those are things that we can only find in the Word of God. This chapter that we read together, Matthew chapter 11, we look down at the verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, in this verse we see that relief for the weary soul. We see that relief for the burdened soul. We see that relief that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, for a few moments, we want to take a look at this verse. We want to divide it into three parts. First of all, we have "come unto me." There we have God's invitation. Then we have "all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And there we have man's predicament. The end of the verse, we have "and I will give you rest." And there we have the promise of God. You know, even as we look at those three parts, notice what's in the center. It commences with an invitation and it closes with a promise. And enclosed inside of that verse, there is the predicament of man. Just like the little nutshell, it's all enclosed in the hand of God, closed within the promise of God, closed within the invitation of God. And as we look at this in the center part, we see the terrible estate of man. We see man's sin and man's iniquity. We want to look a little closer and we want to notice the relief for the weary soul. First of all, we see God's invitation and find here that it says, "Come unto me." These are words of invitation. They're something that we all like to hear. An invitation's always a happy occasion. Maybe you get an invite to a wedding and it's a happy occasion, unless maybe you don't like buying wedding presents or something like that. But it's generally, for those that aren't stingy, it's a happy occasion, a time of celebration. And you know, maybe you get an invitation to a birthday party. An invitation out for a meal is something we all look forward to. It's something we enjoy. Something that is a happy time. And here we have an invitation in the Word of God, and it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. An invitation to come unto Him, that we might know relief, that we might know blessing, that we might know help. You know, I would imagine if the Queen was to send you a wee letter in the post and invite you over to a garden party at Buckingham Palace, well, even if you weren't that fussed on the Queen, you might even go just to see round you, just for the curiosity of getting over there. Yet here in the Word of God we find an invitation. An invitation for souls that are in sin. An invitation for souls that are burdened. Yet there are how many or how few there are that accept of it. You know, as we consider this invitation of come unto me, we're inclined to go back the Word of God over to the book of Genesis to receive the first invitation in Scripture. If you turn with me in your Bible over to the book of Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, we find that there God speaks, and we find the first invitation recorded in Scripture. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord here speaking to His servant Noah, and He says, the verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Here's an invitation to Noah, because he was righteous. God invited him into the ark. What was the ark? It was a place of security, place of safety. For 120 years, Noah had been preaching to the people. Noah had been preaching to those round about them, warning them of a flood that was to come. There was going to come a flood upon the earth. They were all going to be destroyed. Yet nobody listened. We find now that the time has arrived when the ark has been built. This great boat that people laughed at Noah, I imagine, as he built it. But now it's built and he's invited in. He done the building, yet God invites him in, because it's a picture of God's plan of salvation. Come thou and thy house into the ark. Noah goes into the ark, into that place of safety and security. But you know, nothing has changed. Whenever Christ gives an invitation today, it still is a place of safety and security. It still is a place where we can hide in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can take shelter from the storms of life. Just as that great ark that Noah built, it was to carry him above the floods. Whenever floods came, whatever storms were, Noah was sitting up above it all. He was higher than the whole lot. And you know, once we're in with Christ, we're above everything. We're above the whole lot. He was riding high upon the storm. And so when we ask Christ in, we are high above the storm as well. But you know, as we consider the words, come unto me, we find that, as we've said, this is an invitation. This point where Christ is speaking to the people, He's offering an invitation to them. He's an inviting Savior. He's an inviting God. He gives an invitation to come. But you know, as we spoke earlier of the wedding invitation, in that invitation you have a date. You have a time and a day that you must be there. You don't turn up on that day and go a week later. Well, you make a right fool of yourself, because there's no wedding on. The invitation has an appointed day. You know, this invitation from Christ, it has an appointed period of time. It's only valid for a certain period. It's only valid while we're in the day of grace. If you don't accept God's offer, while it's sitting before you in the day of grace, there'll come a time when it's of no benefit to you. There'll come a time when it's no use. The Bible teaches us that there's coming a great judgment day. Once you reach that judgment day, that invitation is invalid. On the judgment day, you'll stand before Christ. You give an account not of Joe Bloggs' life, but of your life. Every individual gives an account of himself. What we've done with Christ. What we've done with His blood. Have we trampled over it? How we've lived our lives for Him as Christians. Will there be any stars in our crown? Have we been a faithful witness for Him? You know, on that day, the invitation is gone. There you will meet Him as judge of all the earth. Message will be different. Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 41 we read, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." On that day God will make a decision. God will call those that have accepted Him as Savior, and He will have a mansion for them in heaven. Those that have rejected Him or turned their back upon Him, then it's, "Depart from me, ye cursed. Doesn't want to know you." But you see, there's a problem here. This invitation is only for a period of time. It's only while we're in the day of grace. But how long does that day of grace last? How long does your day of grace last? The Bible doesn't say. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. If you don't accept that opportunity now, then you're not guaranteed another. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27 and the verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, you listen to the news at the weekend. It's very seldom that there's not someone has passed away or someone's life is cut off into eternity. Whether in the incidents of our land, whether on the roads, whether through terrorism or things that happen. It's very seldom that there's not a life taken into eternity. You know, there's not one of us here guaranteed tomorrow. Not one of us here are guaranteed that when we go out the door that we'll drive out through the gates of the church again. We're not even guaranteed our next breath. You know, yet this invitation of Christ comes to you tonight. If you're not saved, it's an invitation that stands now, but might not stand forever. Depends how long your life will be. But you know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. There is that day you will die, pass into eternity. And then you will be judged, and that invitation day is over. You must have decided before then what you will do with Christ. But notice also about these words. It says, come unto me. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, bring unto me. Many there are today, and they seek to bring unto Jesus the good works that they have did. We read over in the book of Mark, we read of the rich young ruler. Whenever he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man that, oh, he knew the law and all the commandments he'd kept from his youth up. He came with his riches and he wanted to bring all these to Jesus Christ. But Christ turned to him and he says, take your riches. Give them away to those that are poor. I don't want your riches. All I want is a surrendered life. You know, the Bible doesn't say that you have to bring everything to Christ. It doesn't say that you have to bring all your good works and all your good deeds. Your church membership, your offerings that you've paid in, all these things are not required here. Just says, come unto me, come as you are. Don't need to bring anything else. Isaiah 64 and the verse 6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. See, we have nothing to bring to Christ. Anything we have is only our own pride. It's only our own good works. If we were able to bring something to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were able to earn our own salvation, why did he die on the cross of Calvary? Why did he hang upon that middle tree? Why did he take all the abuse of mankind? If we could have earned it our own way, it's not possible. The famous evangelist D.L. Moody, he tells the story of a man who, as he lay upon his bed one night, he had a dream. In that dream, he saw a ladder reaching up to heaven. As he lay upon his bed, he dreamt concerning this ladder, and seeing that every time he did a good work, the ladder got longer. Every time he was good to his neighbor, every time he was helpful, every time he prayed, the ladder gradually grew and grew. So there came a point when this ladder reached up to heaven. And at this point, the man died. And in his dream, he climbs the ladder slowly, step by step. As he gets up to the realms of heaven, and he looks before him and he sees the gates of heaven. He lifts the foot of the ladder and goes to step onto that glory land. As he's about to step off, someone comes, an angel comes and speaks to him. Says to him, young man, there's a verse of scripture. John 10 and the verse 1, and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And with that, the dream ended. You know, the man recognized that this ladder that he was building, it was of no benefit. It was to no avail. Nothing he could ever do could get him into the kingdom of heaven, except by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, friend, tonight, if you're trying to get into heaven by your own way, you're wasting your time. You must do as the famous hymn writer, Augustus Toplady, tells us in that hymn. It says, that great hymn, Rock of Ages, he says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's the way we all must come to the cross of Calvary. We have that invitation. While it's not there forever, we must accept it today. But you know, as we look again at this verse, we find that man is in a particular predicament. Second verse, we see that, second part of the verse, we see that it's only applicable to certain people. It says, come unto me, this invitation is there. But it's only come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. So there's only a set group of people that are acceptable. And yet when we look at it, we all fit into that category. Every single one of us that's here, we're all those that labour and are heavy laden. Turn once again to the book of Genesis. We find that, pardon me, Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, they committed that sin against the Lord Jesus Christ. While they sinned in that garden, everything that they did was passed on for their generations. Genesis chapter 3, we find that God speaks to Adam. He speaks to Eve in the verse 17. And he warns them of what their actions have brought upon themselves. The verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Here we find the beginning of those labours that we have in our life. It all stems back to that old sin in the Garden of Eden. Back where Adam and Eve disobeyed God. There we find that the labour begins. Every single one of us. This invitation applies to us all. We all have the labours. We all have the burdens in our heart. And in our life. Because of that sin descended from Adam and Eve into each one of our hearts. You know, the Bible teaches us that we all labour as well. Psalm 104 in the verse 23 says there that man goeth forth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. And here we see the labour and the heavy laden. We see the burden of our sins. We see the labour of our sins upon our lives. But you know, there's also that physical labour. Every single one of us, we go out to work every day. We go out in the morning and we work. And I suppose if you ask different people, well, one always works a wee bit harder than the other. His job's not that easy. He is a handy old number. But we all go out and we all labour and we all work. Something that we have to do. It's necessary. It's there, as the Bible tells us in that passage that we read in Genesis. In the sweat of her face thou shalt eat bread. We go out and we work and we labour that we might have an income, that we might have bread upon the table. We might have clothes upon our back. We might have a home in which to live. But you know, as we consider that, the question applies to each one of our hearts. What are you labouring for? What are you working for? What is all this work and all this labour for? Is it simply to keep the bread upon the table? Is it simply to provide the house over your head? Provide a car to get to your work? Or is there another means? Is there another reason behind it all? Are we trying to build up our own personal empire? Child of God, what are you labouring for today? Is your labours solely to keep you focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your work, is your employment, is that taking over your whole life? Is it taking you away from the place of prayer and the place of God? Is it taking over God's part in your life? What are you working for? So many today, and they labour for their money and their wealth. And all it is, they want to go out and they want to have pleasure and fun and popularity at the weekend. They want to go out to their nightclubs and have a good time. Is that what you're labouring for? If you are, it's in vain. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes gives us a great insight into work. The chapter 2 in the verse 21. It says, for there is a man whose labour is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not laboured therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labours? Of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath laboured under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. It tells us here all our work is at vanity. we're not using it just to supply the needs that we have, then it's all in vain. When you pass the scene of time and pass into Mother Earth, all that you've built up, all that you've gathered up, it's of no use to you. If you haven't made your preparation for eternity before that time, then your riches are no good. Your wealth, your fame, your popularity, it's of no benefit to you. Perhaps you're hoping that all this labor will be a way of getting you into heaven, but again, the Bible speaks, John chapter 6 and the verse 27, tells us there concerning labor. It says, labor not for meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. You know, that's a word of advice and instruction to every child of God. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for meat which endureth forever. Labor to see those children in the Sunday school saved. See those young people brought to Christ. See the outreach done around the area to see men and women come in under the sound of the word. Surely that's where our minds should be focused. Surely that's what we should be aiming for. To see souls saved and won for Christ. The kingdom of glory might be advanced. That's what the word of God is telling us here. That's what our labors, that's what our aims, that's what our endeavors should be too. But you know, as we look at this invitation again, we find that this invitation extends out not just to those that are weary in body, but to those that are weary in mind. Those that are tired, burdened down in their mind. And you know, as we look around today in our world, we find that so many people are working under stress, and the jobs and the things that they're in, there much pressure and much stress on them. And you know, sometimes I wonder, are people placing too much emphasis on their work and their labours? Is that why they have so much stress? Are they worrying too much about the things around them and not taking the rest that God has appointed? But you know, there are those that are weary in mind. They have a burden on their mind. As I stand here and look at faces, I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what burden you're carrying about with you. Perhaps there's sickness, bereavement. Perhaps there's other trials. Perhaps there are those school examinations, those at place of employment, and they're getting harassed, they're under problems, they're under difficulties. There's those things that labour and weigh down upon our mind. They burden our heart and mind. You know, as we consider those things, there's only one we can turn to. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have something preying upon your mind and weighing down that you can't get rest and you can't get peace, then you can bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's there. He's the one that comes in love and tenderness. That sweet voice whispering in your ear. That sweet voice that gives you advice if you come to Christ. You know, there's nothing as annoying as someone coming and speaking to you and saying, I'm sorry for your trouble, or I sympathize with you, or understand what you're going through. Especially if that person hasn't the slightest clue what they're talking about. Nothing so annoying. But yet when we come to Christ, we come to one, and he's been in all them places. We come to one who has stood at the graveside. We come to one who has healed those that are sick in body. Come to one who has suffered. That famous passage, Isaiah 53. We think of the verse 3 there. It tells us he was despised and rejected of men. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. And we esteemed him not. As we read that verse, we find that here he was, despised and rejected of men, hated, spat upon. Despised, man of sorrows. It says acquainted with grief. You know, that word acquainted doesn't mean just a fleeting knowledge. It means to have an active experience of. It means to have lived through that experience. Christ lived through that experience of grief and rejection and hatred. Why did he do it? He did it for every one of us. That we might have eternal life. That we might know that saving grace in our heart. You know, as we turn over to the New Testament, we find there's a similar verse. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 15. Tells us there, for we have an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, the old temptations come in round about us. The old devil, perhaps we're on our own and we're away on our own in a place of employment. The old devil, he's there, he's tempting you to come and come into the pub, take your drink, come and get involved in the things of the world. You know, Christ knew all them temptations. He's the one we can turn to. And them pressures and them burdens lying down upon your mind, we can turn to Christ. One who knows your worries, your weaknesses. One who has been there. One who has come through that same dark valley. No wonder we can say with the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We think of that favorite psalm of many people. He is the shepherd. Goes with us through the valley. Through the valley of fear. Through that dark place. He's always there. But you know, perhaps there's another burden weighing upon you. Perhaps it's not a physical burden of your work that you're doing day by day. Perhaps it's not a burden of emotions or things upon your mind. Perhaps it is a burden of sin. Something that you know was there in your heart. God has been speaking to you and He's weighing down upon your heart that you're a sinner, that you need salvation. You know, the story is told of an old Scottish preacher. As he travelled through the Highlands of Scotland, he was in the habit of coming to the bed and breakfast house. And while he was there, before everyone went to bed, he would gather them all around and read the scripture. One night he came to this bed and breakfast and asked the owner, "Gather everyone in that I might speak to them." We're all sitting in, and he says, "Are you sure everyone's here?" He says, "Well, there's one wee girl, there's one scullery maid, but she does nothing, only wash and clean, and she's no good clothes. She's dirty, she's scruffy looking." Man says, "Bring her in." And the young girl came in and he spoke to her and he says, "Well," minister says to the young girl, "who made you?" She says, "I don't know, sir. Don't know who made me." "Do you know there's a God?" "No, I don't, sir." "What is God?" "Do you know you need to be saved?" "No, sir, no one has ever told me that." The minister says, he says, "Young girl, I want you to do something. I want you to say a simple prayer. And the prayer is, show me myself." He says, "I'm going away and I'm coming back in a few days and I'll bring you a nice new outfit of clothes. Something to wear." He says, "I want you to pray that prayer. Show me myself." You know, the minister went away. A week passed, he came back the same route, he called in again. He says to the landlord, "What about the young girl? How is she?" He says, "Sir, whatever you said, that young girl has done nothing from you left. She's distraught, she's crying day and night, and we don't know what's wrong with her." You know, the minister knew what was wrong. He went in and he spoke to the young girl. He says, "I've did as I promised. Here's the clothes for you." She says, "Sir, that prayer," she says, "God has answered it. He has showed me myself, the wickedness that I am, the sin that's in my life. He showed me the rottenness that's in me. How I despised His word and trampled over His precious blood." She says, "What can I do, sir?" He says, minister turned to the young girl. He says, "I want you to pray a different prayer. I want you to pray this time, Lord, show me thyself." You know, the minister went away from that place. Maybe 15 years later, he was preaching at a different engagement. A young woman came up and said to him, "Sir, do you remember me?" He says, "I don't." She says, "I'm that poor scullery maid that you met in the Highlands. The last time we spoke, you gave me a prayer to pray, and it was, Lord, show me thyself." And she says, "You know, as I prayed, the Lord revealed to me His saving power, His saving grace in my life. And He saved me, and He's washed me in the precious blood. And here I am now, I have a home of my own and a family of my own. I'm well off." But you know, that woman there, she recognized, that young girl, she realized her need of salvation. She felt the burden of sin upon her heart. As she worked in that place, the burden of sin made her cry and wail and weep. She had no peace, she had no contentment, she had no joy. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're the same. No contentment, no peace in your life because you're not right with God. Perhaps you're a child of God and God has a plan for your life and you know that what you're doing is not in His will. You know what you're doing is not in the way He wants you to go. You're fighting against Him. That burden of sin is upon your heart. Well, you know, you can take that burden and you can bring it to Christ. Because as we look at this verse in the latter part, there is that promise. There is that promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that I will give you rest. Sinner, weary one, notice it. The verse doesn't end after the labor and heavy laden. There is that promise. Promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that I will give you rest. Rest from all our sins. Bible tells us that Romans 6:23, "For all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." There is that promise in the book. That the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal life. There is that promise here that we can claim. We just must accept the invitation of Christ. Come unto Him and accept this answer. Accept His promise that I will give you rest. You know, rest. Man, when we get home in the evening, we look forward to a rest. Sitting down, relaxing. Calming the mind. You know, here we have that promise of rest. To the mind that is worried and fretting, there is that peace, there is that contentment. To the one that's burdened to their sins, there is that promise of rest from that burden. There's that promise of forgiveness. To those of us that are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is that eternal rest. Revelation 14, verse 13. It says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. There's that rest for the saint of God. Man, what a joy, what an encouragement from our hearts. That there is that rest from the labors of this earth and their works to follow them. There is that heavenly rest. You know, friend, if you're here tonight, perhaps you have worries and frets in your mind. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the invitation. Here's the promise. All you have to do is bring it. If you're not saved, then you must come to Christ. Bring your sins to Him. Romans 10 and 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another promise of Christ. You must bring them to Him. You know, friend, tonight, it is our prayer that if you're not saved, that you would come to Christ. There's no one else can help you. If you have a disease, if you're sick, then you must go to the doctor and find the cure for that disease. If you have sin in your heart and in your life, there's only one place you can go, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can help you. No church, no denomination, no minister can help you. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight, it is our prayer that you would come to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, that you might know rest from your sin, and rest for your mind as well. We'll just bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you this evening for thy word. Lord, we thank you for the invitation within it. We thank you, Lord, for the promises in it. Lord, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, we thank and praise you, Lord, that even in that latter verse of that chapter, Lord, we have that promise there that says, For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And Lord, we ask and pray this evening, Lord, that if there are any in this place and they're burdened with cares of this world, Lord, that they might bring them unto Thee, that they might know that peace and that relief and that joy in their heart. Lord, if there's a sin-sick soul, we pray that Thou would draw them unto Thyself with the arms of love. Lord, that they might bring that burden to the old rugged cross. Lord, like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, they might watch it roll away. That they might watch it leave their back. Lord, that they might rejoice with the Savior of Galilee. Lord, we ask and pray that Thou would even speak to hearts tonight. In this place we do pray, for it's in Thy name. We ask all these things. Amen.